Good evening and welcome to our midweek Advent service. We approach the throne of God in prayer to seek his blessing upon our worship this evening. Lord Jesus Christ, with gratitude for all you've done for our salvation, we rejoice to be called Christians, rule in our hearts, and send the Holy Spirit to work and dwell within us, so that we may always conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of our calling as children of God. Give us hearts that look out for others more than ourselves, that love others like you love us, that shares the gospel with others, and rejoices to see and be a part of the work of your kingdom. Bless us all in our worship this evening. Amen. The first hymn is 375, Come Your Hearts and Voices Raising. You'll notice that the print is a little small this evening, so if you're having difficulty reading, you can open up the maroon hymnal to 375. Please stand. Our service continues with the liturgy on the top of page 3. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We join the responsive reading taken from Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you foretold in days of old, and for all that you did in preparation for your Son's coming into this world as our Savior, and for carrying it out to perfect completion in the fullness of time. Grant us the grace to ever fully appreciate the great love you showed us in all of this, and to praise your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Savior. Amen. We continue to confess our faith in the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed with Luther's explanation on page 4. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and come person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he has risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. The Advent season helps us to prepare for the celebration of our Savior's birth. The word Advent means come or coming. During Advent, our scripture readings and sermon texts focus on the comings of Jesus. His first coming, born into this world as a little baby in Bethlehem, his coming into our hearts to live and reign there, his coming in the last day of this world, Judgment Day, when he will be judging the world. We customarily have an Advent wreath at Advent time to help us in our preparations. The wreath is full of symbolism, a special meaning to us as Christians, since the wreath is made of evergreens, ever-living. It points to the blessings of Jesus giving us life, spiritual life, and eternal life in heaven. And with the wreath made in a circle, wreath having a circle has no beginning and no ending, kind of symbolizes eternal. No beginning, no ending. And so it's pointing to the blessings that Jesus gives us that are eternal, they're everlasting. Traditionally, the candles are found in a wreath, three purple and one pink or rose. And the reason for that, there are four Sundays in Advent leading up to Christmas. Also, it reminds us that it was 4,000 years that the Old Testament believers were waiting for the coming of the promised Christ and Messiah. The color purple symbolizes preparing for Christmas with repentance And of course, as Christians, we know that this is something that we need to do every day, because we sin every day. Repentance is confessing our sins with sorrow of heart, turning to Jesus in faith for forgiveness, and having the resolve to not continue in such sins with the help of God. Now, there's also one candle on the wreath that's pink or rose, and it symbolizes joy, the joy that we experience as Christians through Jesus, our Savior. Now, traditionally, the Advent candles have been given names. The first one, prophecy candle. Second, the Bethlehem candle. Third, shepherd's candle. And the third, or fourth, is the angel's candle. And the light that's found on each of these candles points us to Jesus, who is the light of the world. He sheds his wonderful, gracious light to us through his word. Now, there's one other candle. We don't have it on the wreath, but it's a white one. It's the Christ Child candle. It points us to the holy Jesus who came here to shed his light throughout all the world. So this evening, we'll be reading sections of scripture that speak of these four Advent candles. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Come, O Long... No, we're going to talk about the prophecy candle before that happens. Sorry. So the prophecy candle is the first candle, which is purple. It's lit in the first week of Advent, symbolic of the long years of waiting during which the prophets kept alive the hope of the Son of God coming into this world to redeem his people from their sins. An example of an Old Testament prophecy is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. And it should be noted that the book of Isaiah is full of messianic prophecies. In fact, it's been referred to as the gospel of the Old Testament. This prophecy speaks of Jesus' ministry and his preaching as well as his redemptive work. So when you hear of these different things that Jesus does for us, think of them in a spiritual sense, not an earthly temporal sense. We read from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, Jesus, to preach the good tidings to the poor. Now, when he's talking about the poor, it's not just people who don't have a whole lot of money. It's people who are poor in spirit, who humble themselves and are ready and willing to hear the good news. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, not out of prisons, but the captivity of sin, Satan, and hell, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirits of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We continue with hymn 705, Come, O Long Expected Jesus.
Thank you.
So the second candle is the Bethlehem candle. It's lit on the second Sunday in Advent. And it symbolizes the preparations being made for the coming of the Christ child. The prophecy in Micah 5:2 that foretold Jesus' birthplace at Bethlehem may seem to be a minor and insignificant thing, but it was important, very special. Can you think of the significance of Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? King David was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and there are many other things that we could point to. But even though it may seem like a small detail, the Lord took care of every detail in preparation for Jesus. The scripture from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. In those words, he's pointing to the Son of God, who was from everlasting. We sing that well familiar hymn, The Little Town of Bethlehem, on page 6. The third candle that's lit is the shepherd candle. It's pink or rose, and it reminds us of the blessed reason for us to rejoice with great joy and of our responsibility to share the message of life and salvation with others. The shepherds left their task and went in joyful haste to see the Christ child. Then they returned to tell others about the good news of the Savior. Here we read from the Christmas Gospel in Luke chapter 2 of the shepherds. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as was told them. What do you think the significance is of God choosing shepherds to be the first ones to hear and see the promise, Christ child? In the social strata, the shepherds were on the bottom. They were humble, lowly workers with sheep. Why would God choose such lowly people, not princes and kings and people of high degree, but such lowly people? Well, it shows Jesus came for everybody, those of high and low degree. And the other thing about these shepherds, just think about what they heard from the angels about that you're going to find a Savior in a barn, lying in a manger where you feed cattle. That sounds like nonsense. But God gave them the grace to just have a humble faith and accept that word as true, and to fill their hearts with joy. And once they had seen the baby Jesus, they just couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to share it with whoever wanted to hear about this baby Jesus. We sing that well familiar hymn, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." The fourth candle in Advent is the angel candle. It too is purple, and it reminds us of the activity of the angels before and after Jesus' birth, bearing messages, ministering, protecting, and praising God. And they will be with Jesus when he comes in the last day. Scripture speaks of the angels gathering those who have believed in Jesus from the four corners of the earth, where then Jesus will judge the world, separating believers from unbelievers. We read of the angels on that first Christmas night from Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We sing, "Angels We Have Heard on High." Please stand for prayer. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of David, we look forward with joyful hearts to the approaching celebration of your holy birth. Grateful you came here as one of us to lay down your life a ransom for sinners. You are our God, our everlasting King, and yet, so that you might rule sinners like us with grace and forgiveness, you left your throne above and appeared here in weakness, poverty, and humility. With perfect obedience, you kept the law for us. In great anguish of soul, you bore our sins for us. And in great suffering, which finally ended in death, You were even punished in our place. We praise and adore you, Holy Jesus, for the precious gift of yourself, your very life for our salvation. Hear our prayers and hymns of praise as we lift our voices to you. This Advent season, enter our hearts with joy and peace and with all spiritual blessings. Our Savior, we know that it is not the will of our Father that any should perish, but that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. O, fill the world with the gospel's joyous sound, that hearts everywhere may reach out by faith to accept the precious kingdom you have brought, and together with us enjoy your gracious rule of mercy and forgiveness. In your great love, prepare us for your coming. Help us to welcome you as you come to us in your word, which grants our salvation, and in your sacraments, which seal our pardon. Make us ready through genuine repentance to welcome you when you come again in power and great glory in the last day. We confess that we have often been self-willed, turning back again and again to our sinful ways. Do not on account of our sins rule us with a rod of iron, but rule in our hearts with your love and grace. Keep our names recorded in your book of life and blot out our transgressions. Help us to see ourselves as willing servants of your gospel, so that with righteous lives and loving hearts, we will ever praise you as Lord and Savior to others. To the glory of your name, we ask these and make these requests. And in your name, we also join to prayer, the prayer which you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated. We conclude our service with God Loves Me Dearly. Good evening. Following the service, there will be cookies for you to take home or eat here, whichever you want. Even if you didn't bring cookies, come and share cookies with us. It's in the fellowship room. May God in His grace be with you always.